our quiver full and overflowing. No children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them, that they shall not be ashamed. Psalm chapter 127, verses 3 to 5. The Lord blessed our quiver with four wonderful children, all born in Africa. That story is told in part 1, chapter 13, Four Arrows in Our Quiver. Rowan and I praise the Lord for our children and for his leading in their lives. All four of them made professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when they were quite young. But how has he led them in the years since then? I believe it's time for an update on God's work in our family. The children began their schooling at ELWA Academy on the campus of ELWA or Elwa Radio Village in Liberia, West Africa. ELWA was the assigned call letters of the radio station. When we moved to the island of Antigua in the Caribbean to help build Caribbean Radio Lighthouse, I began teaching the children in our home school. We kept the children with us in Antigua until they finished their first or second year of high school, and then sent them to Bob Jones Academy in Greenville, South Carolina to finish high school. Becky, Rebecca Ruth. Becky was our sweet firstborn child. Becky shared her testimony of God's work in her life as she grew up.
We lived in Africa until I was 12 years old. My family had to leave that radio work due to compromise in that ministry. It was a hard thing to do, but I knew it was the right thing. At the age of 13, just before our family left America to serve the Lord in Antigua, I dedicated my life to the Lord to go anywhere and do anything for him. I tried surrendering my life to the Lord privately at the age of 12 when I was at camp, but I finally gave up my pride and walked down the aisle of my grandma's church, the Baptist Tabernacle in Atlanta, Georgia. We would be leaving America soon, and I wanted to be a missionary myself and not just a missionary kid. I was overjoyed once again in victory. God answered my desire to be a missionary. I was able to help Mom start a Bible club in our backyard when we moved to Antigua. I led the singing and taught the younger children in another room. Later, I taught Sunday school, went on visitation, participated in the youth group, and helped at the church in every way I could. When I was 14 years old, as the radio station was being built in Antigua, I was able to help Mom with the Bible Correspondence School, which was housed in our home. After the station was on the air, the Bible Correspondence School was moved to the radio station, and I still had school to do. The Lord burdened me to do my schoolwork in 3 days and work at the radio station for 2 days. I did light office work and reel-to-reel editing. I loved every minute of it and enjoyed being a part of the ministry God called us to and working alongside my dear parents. While attending college, the students were challenged during a missions chapel to surrender to go anywhere to serve the Lord. I thought I had done that, but as I walked across the Bridge of Nations on the campus of Bob Jones University and viewed all the different flags from all over the world, I was more willing to go anywhere, well, except when my eyes fell on the American flag. I really was not willing to stay in the USA. But God worked in my heart, and that day I surrendered even to stay in the States, if that was indeed what God wanted.
Becky was the first to leave the nest. It was not easy to say goodbye to her at the end of our furlough and return to Antigua without her. She graduated from Bob Jones Academy and attended Bob Jones University, earning her Bachelor of Arts degree in 1984. While at BJU, Becky met a fine, dedicated Christian young man, Keith Eckberg, from New Jersey. Keith was interested in missions, and that thrilled Becky's heart. The Lord confirmed to them that it was His will for them to serve Him together. They were married after graduation. The Lord blessed them with four beautiful daughters, adding these grandchildren to our quiver.
Keith and I spent 6 months in Antigua as furlough replacements for other missionaries. While there, Keith started a Bible study radio program on the Caribbean Radio Lighthouse called The Bible Speaks. Keith also had a burden for training Christian young men for leadership in the local churches. The Lord helped him begin an evening Bible institute in the Maranatha Baptist Church in Antigua. We had planned to go back to Antigua after completing the 6 months as furlough replacements, but the Lord had other plans. Our second daughter was born with spina bifida and needed to be near medical care. But even then, the Lord used that time to prepare us for future work for Him. Keith continued his radio broadcast, and those programs became the basis for some of the Bible Correspondence Course lessons in a later ministry. We cared for my grandmother in a nursing home for 7 years until she went home to be with her loving Lord. We thought now the Lord was going to thrust us out to serve Him, but no, He had more for us to learn. A few months later, our pastor, Mark Minnick, preached a message on Abraham and Isaac and placing everything on the altar. I told the Lord that I had placed my all on the altar. He immediately reminded me that I had not placed my desire to be a missionary on the altar. Oh, but Lord, that's something I want to do for You. But that day, I placed even my desire to serve the Lord on the mission field on the altar. After Dad's homegoing in 1997, the Lord moved us to go to Karakut to assist in the work in any way we could. But Keith's health did not do well there, so we were not able to return to Karakut after serving there for 3.5 years. While we were in Karakut, Keith continued with his radio broadcasts and manuscripts. I typed his radio notes into booklets. He also wrote helpful topics, pamphlets, and gospel tracts. Little did we know that the Lord had great plans for those radio notes and tracts. When we returned to the USA, God opened the door for us to head up a fruitful Bible correspondence school ministry called Faith Ministries, when the missionary who had begun that work went home to be with the Lord. Keith was able to add his tracts and make his radio notes into 5 more Bible correspondence courses. It has been so exciting to see the Lord grow and use this ministry right here out of our own home. When we took on the ministry, it had dwindled to about 50 students. Now we have several thousand who have enrolled in our courses and 15 volunteers who help us with the ministry. We had desired to train others for the ministry, and now we are training people from around the world through Faith Institute of Biblical Studies by mail and online. To God be the glory!
Randy Randall Rowland was our first son. Randy enjoyed electronics and set up his own little radio studio in his room at home in Antigua. When he was 16, Roland allowed him to begin broadcasting as an announcer on Caribbean Radio Lighthouse in Antigua on Saturday mornings. When he attended Bob Jones University, he majored in broadcast engineering and looked forward to serving the Lord in missionary radio somewhere in the world as the Lord would lead him. However, the Lord tested him regarding this desire.
When we were on furlough in the United States when I was 15, I was excited about going to a Christian school and having Christian friends. But I was shocked and hurt when one of the teachers told me most of the students listened to rock music and did many sinful things. At home, standing in our driveway, the Lord spoke deeply to me. I told the Lord I did not want to live a life like that. I wanted to be something for Him, to do something for Him. I did not want to be a Christian like those young people, professing to be Christians but living another life. I told the Lord I was all His. I said, "Lord, I give You myself. Use me in Your service. Do with me whatever You want to do with me." My life had changed when I was saved or made sure of my salvation at 14. I had a love for God and a desire to know Him. But at 15, when I dedicated my life to Christ, my life really changed in the way I thought and lived my life. I now had a definite reason for living. I began asking the Lord what He wanted me to do. It was not long before I knew He wanted me to follow my parents' footsteps in missionary radio. But as I was about to finish high school, the Lord spoke deeply to my heart again. He seemed to be asking me to preach instead of being a missionary radio engineer. I was confused. I knew God wanted me to be a radio engineer and work in missionary radio. But now I was very unsettled. Did God want me to give up radio engineering and become a preacher? After a few days of a deep struggle, I was sitting on a bench under a tree. I finally said out loud, "Okay, Lord, if You want me to change my major, I will do it." Immediately, I knew God did not want me to change my major. I laughed out loud. The Lord had been testing my heart to see if I would do anything He wanted me to do, as I had promised at age 15, and that is still my deepest desire. My heart's desire is to go on with God until the end of my life on this earth, and then throughout all eternity. I pray God will help me to love Him more and more each day. I pray that God will fill me with His Spirit, anoint me by His Spirit to accomplish all His will for my life, and consecrate me in every part to Himself. God has loved me so much, He gave His only Son to save me. He has provided everything I have ever needed, both physically and spiritually. How can I not love Him and serve Him with all my heart? After graduation from BJU in 1986, I married Charlene Isaac, the daughter of Dr. Al Isaac, science professor at BJU. The Lord opened the door for me to get experience in Christian radio and broadcast engineering as I worked at the university's radio station WMUU. As Charlene and I asked the Lord for guidance regarding His place of service for us, the opportunity to build a radio station on the island of Grenada became a possibility. We believed the Lord was leading us to become involved in that project. At that time, Dad and Mom were beginning to see the Lord open the way for Harbor Light of the Windwards to be established on Grenada's sister island, Carriacou.
Randy and Charlene arrived in Carriacou with their little one-year-old, Caroline, in 1990. Randy was a tremendous help with the building of the radio station. The devil did not like to see that ministry prosper, and the Lord allowed him to try to take Randy's life when he fell 50 feet from his ham radio tower in 1992. That story is told in Part 3, Chapter 11, entitled Tragedy? No, Miracle. But God spared Randy's life, and he became the manager of Harbor Light of the Windwards when the Lord took his dad to be with himself in 1997. Randy has done a great job, with the Lord's help, of keeping the light burning and upholding the standards of God's Word in the programming of the radio station. Charlene is headmistress of Harbor Light Christian Academy, which was founded to educate their 10 children the Lord has given to them, as well as to reach out to train local children academically and in the things of the Lord. The Lord used Randy and Charlene to expand our quiver with 10 more grandchildren. It was a special blessing to us to have these grandchildren right there with us on Karaku. Not many missionaries have that privilege. Tony, Anthony Glenn, was our mischievous son. He shares his testimony with us.
I remember being sent out of Bible club and being punished for misbehaving, then praying to receive Jesus as my Savior at the age of 6. I don't remember the communication of the Spirit of God, though, to my spirit until around the age of 12 or 13. At that time, my struggles with understanding my changing body and desires escalated, and the byproduct was an inability to control my emotions, causing me to lose my temper often. During this time, I doubted my salvation constantly, thinking I was the worst sinner ever. I was fearful of not being saved, so I prayed often to be sure. The one thing I remember clearly is the working of the Spirit of God in convicting me of my sin and giving me a growing hunger for God. When I was kicked out of homeschool at the age of 14, the Lord and I had a lot of time to communicate. He taught me that my need was Jesus, not merely external change. Jesus wanted my heart, and I could do nothing to change myself. I needed to trust Him completely. This ministry of the Spirit of God gave me confidence that I was a child of God. Did that take place when I was 6 or some other time? It really does not matter. What does matter is that I am His, and He is mine. I know that beyond any doubt, the Spirit keeps drawing me to my Abba Father. At the age of 15, at the Wilds Camp, under the preaching of Phil Schuler, I surrendered my life to full-time service to Jesus. I knew that meant God wanted me to be a missionary, and my desire was to minister to the youth of the Caribbean initially, I thought, in Antigua. After graduating from Bob Jones University, my wife, Martha Snoddy at the time, and I began preparing to serve the Lord in the islands of the Caribbean, with the island of Antigua in mind. About a year after beginning our deputation meetings, Dad wrote me a letter asking me to consider ministering on the island of Dominica. Later, I received a letter from Pastor Hudson Challenger inviting us to come to Dominica and see if that is where God would have us serve. In the summer of 1992, with Jamie, a toddler, and TJ, a baby, we set foot on the island of Dominica for the very first time, and God immediately gave me a love and desire to serve Him here. On January the 12th, 1994, we arrived in Dominica to begin serving the Lord through the ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church and Christian Academy. And after more than 25 years, that love and desire has only increased. We worked with National Pastor Hudson Challenger and his wife, Louise, at the Lighthouse Baptist Church and Academy in the Kalinago Indian Territory. I worked with the young people in the church, and Martha and I both taught in the little school. As the school grew, I directed the construction of a new school building. The area is strongly Catholic, and the work was difficult, but the school enabled us to reach into the hearts and lives of many homes in the area. After working with the Challengers for several years, the Lord gave me a burden for the village of Marigot, about 8 miles from where we were living and working. Marigot is rife with spiritism and demonism, and it is a very difficult place to share the gospel. However, the Lord enabled us to start 2 small churches on the island. The little building the church in Marigot was using collapsed during Hurricane Maria in 2017, and the church folks dispersed to other places. The little assembly in the Kalinago Territory is meeting in a temporary building in our yard at present and is prospering spiritually. Very often I thank God for the privilege of being his servant here in Dominica, though even more often I feel undeserving. I thank God he has the power to redeem me from my sins and to use a broken and weak vessel, struggling with my old flesh every day, to live and share the pure, life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ with my precious Dominican brothers and sisters. And I praise God for the privilege of actually seeing the power of the gospel redeem and transform lives for God's glory.
The Lord has blessed Tony and Martha with 8 wonderful children, 4 boys and 4 girls. And Martha has homeschooled them. So there are 8 more for our quiver. Jonathan David is our youngest child. Jonathan entitled the report on his life as "The Life Story of Jonathan Cornelius in a Nutshell, Because I'm Just a Nut." He definitely inherited his father's sense of humor more than any of our other children, although they all have some of it.
I'm the youngest of 4 children, born and raised a missionary kid by my 2 godly parents. Some of my earliest memories are those of our family having Bible time in the evenings together. I especially enjoyed a set of books on animal characters and how we could learn from their character traits. These early examples and exposures to the gospel led me to understand at an early age that I too was lost and in need of a Savior. Sometime when I was around 5 years old, my mom helped me pray and asked the Lord to forgive of my sins and to accept him as my Lord and Savior. What was a missionary kid going to do when he grew up? Many times people would ask me this question over the years. The answer changed quite a few times as well. At one point, I wanted to be a preacher, taking after the great preachers of the past, such as C.H. Spurgeon. I've always enjoyed helping others, and have had a hard time saying no to anyone in need. Somewhere in the family archives is a picture of me in diapers helping my mother clean out the cabinets. Throughout my adolescent years, I developed a reputation of being the Band-Aid boy. I always seemed to have a small first aid kit around. It was about this time that I thought I might become a firefighter, but by the time I was entering high school, I had my sights set on going to medical school to become a doctor.
When it was time for Tony to leave the nest of our home in Antigua, Jonathan could not stand to be left as the only child at home. He and Tony had done everything together, including swimming and diving in the beautiful blue Caribbean Sea almost every day. Jonathan begged us to allow him to leave home too. He was only 14 at the time. He was too young to live in the dormitory at Bob Jones University to attend Bob Jones Academy. He was the idea man, and he came up with a plan.
"Mom and Dad, I could live with Uncle Bob and Aunt Ruth in Indiana and go to the Christian school in their church.
Ruth was my sister, and her husband, Bob Koenig, was the principal of that school. We knew Jonathan would receive good Christian training in their home, and he would enjoy working with the horses and would be helping with other chores as well. We prayed much about this idea and believed it was God's will for Jonathan to live with Ruth and Bob for 1 year before moving to BJU to attend the academy. It was very difficult for me to let go of all my children, even though I had told the Lord I would hold my loved ones loosely so he could take and use them according to his will. The Lord finally took me to a verse in Psalms that helped me let my children go and trust the Lord to work in each of their lives and keep them in his care. The verse is Psalm chapter 84 and verse 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. I could lay my young in a safe place. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. I laid my children on his altar and was at rest. The Lord would take care of them.
I graduated from Bob Jones Academy in 1986 and began working for the university's public safety department that summer. Bud Reimel, a godly man who was the chief, soon had a lasting influence on my life's direction. It was under his training I became an emergency medical technician during my freshman year as a pre-med major at Bob Jones University. I thoroughly enjoyed the work and was soon bitten by the EMS, Emergency Medical Services, bug. I continued my pre-med degree while working an average of 30-plus hours a week as a public safety officer for Bob Jones University. Sometime during my junior year, my academic advisor, Dr. Vogt, suggested that perhaps my calling was in the pre-hospital arena. So I had to make a choice. Continue down the medical doctor course and stay in school another 10 years, or stay with pre-hospital care and become a paramedic. By this time, I had already been thinking of returning to Antigua to work as an emergency room physician. In the end, the decision was simple. Where am I needed the most? I knew Antigua had doctors, and I knew Antigua and the Caribbean did not have much in the way of pre-hospital care systems or emergency medical systems. I felt the Lord was leading me in the direction of EMS and Antigua.
The Lord provided a sweet Christian nurse, Becky Harper, to be Jonathan's wife. Yes, we have two Beckys in the family.
I met my wife Becky during Bible conference in 1986. She was studying to become a nurse at BJU. Later, when things were getting serious between us, my dad commented that I must have taken a turn for the nurse.
Jonathan and Becky were part of a beautiful double wedding at Christmas time in 1989. The other couple in the wedding was Becky's twin sister, Kathy, also a nurse, who married one of our boys' good Christian friends from Antigua, Duncan Armsby. Duncan and Kathy moved back to Antigua shortly after the wedding. Jonathan and Becky remained in Greenville, South Carolina, while Jonathan completed his degree at BJU.
In May of 1992, I completed my paramedic training at Upstate EMS in Greenville. We had already been talking with Kathy and Duncan about the need for emergency medical services in Antigua, and began to correspond with Antiguan officials to explore the possibility of working for the Antiguan government. 3 years later, in the summer of 1995, the Antiguan Minister of Health invited us to move to Antigua and to work for the Ministry of Health as a paramedic. Many of our friends and some of our family told us we were crazy to make such a big move. All we had is a verbal invitation over the phone. There was no written contract between the Antiguan government and myself. Yet we felt this was the Lord's leading. We sold what we could, packed everything into a 20-foot shipping container, and headed to Antigua.
Jonathan and Becky arrived in Antigua on September 2, 1995, Just 2 days before Hurricane Louis arrived, the most powerful hurricane to hit the Eastern Caribbean, they were temporarily staying with Duncan's parents, whose house was badly damaged in the hurricane. They had to shelter in the crawl space under the house to escape injury from flying debris as the hurricane continued lashing the island for 30 hours.
The immigration official at the airport gave us 48 hours to stay since we arrived on a one-way ticket. I promised to speak to the minister and have it sorted out. When I finally was able to speak to the minister, he said, "Don't you know there's a hurricane coming? Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it later." Later turned out to be 3 months later. This is the beginning of what is now known as the Antiguan Barbuda Emergency Medical Services. I worked for the Ministry of Health for 3 years. I answered emergency calls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, established policies and procedures, and trained the new staff. Towards the end of the 3 years, I was experiencing debilitating stress-related migraine headaches. The Lord provided the relief I needed by opening the door to work in the fire and security department for the Antigua Air Station in Antigua. This was a U.S. Air Force contractor-operated satellite tracking facility. I was sent to the U.S. for 7 weeks of fire school to become a firefighter, and I spent 6 years working for the fire station. Back in 1996, I approached the organizers of the Antigua Sailing Week to offer my services as a paramedic to the regatta. They were very happy to have medical coverage on the water supporting the event. They also put me in touch with the Classic Yacht Regatta to help them with coverage as well. This started yet another direction in the Lord's path, which put me into Marine Search and Rescue, or SAR, as a paramedic firefighter. Just over a year later, I participated in an aerial search for two missing Antiguans off the island of St. Lucia. While the wreckage of their half-sunken boat was found, the couple were never seen again. This incident led to the formation of the Antiguan Barbuda Search and Rescue, or ABSAR, by Julie Harvey Esty. In the year 2000, Julie left Antigua and turned ABSAR over to me to continue as best I could. The Lord continued to work and bless in these efforts. ABSAR today is an internationally recognized search and rescue agency providing search and rescue assistance to the Northeast Caribbean for over 20 years. I am privileged to be part of this organization that has helped thousands of Antiguans and visitors alike. In 2015, Becky's mother was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, even though she never smoked a day in her life. Becky returned home to North Carolina to help care for her mother for 6 months until the Lord saw fit to end her suffering and to take her home to heaven. Becky's mother's passing changed our responsibilities, and we began to see the Lord shifting us back to North Carolina and away from Antigua. We have been living a difficult schedule since then, with me in Antigua 6 months of the year. Some people ask, why not just drop Antigua and stay in North Carolina? The best answer I can give comes from the example of my dad. I remember him telling a story from Liberia. He had a talent for repairing mechanical watches and clocks, and had specific tools for these delicate jobs. He just could not bear to tell people that he could not help them when he knew he had the God-given talent and the tools at his disposal. When he saw his watch repair was taking away too much time from the missionary radio work, he made a hard choice and threw his tools into the sea. Unfortunately for me, most of my tools are in my head. I've spent over 3 decades of being on call, responding to emergencies, and helping those in need. The Lord has given me the tools and the strength to do this, His will, in my life. It is hard to let go and turn away from those who are still crying, "Help us," when I still have the God-given talent and tools to make the difference.
The Lord has given Jonathan opportunities to be a good testimony to people who sail to Antigua from around the world and are not being reached in any other way. While Becky was in Antigua, she also had a loving ministry to children and their parents as an office nurse for a German lady pediatrician who was working on the island of Antigua.
I have always seen the task that God gave me is to live a godly example before those who might not give Him a chance to work in their lives, while giving them a second chance to make things right with Him. I still see this as my calling, even as Antigua's fading from God's will in my life. I look forward to God's next chapter for me.
In God's providence, He has not seen fit to give children to Jonathan and Becky, but they are content in His loving will. Let's see now. We have said our quiver is full and running over. Is it really true? Our four children are all married and have given us 22 grandchildren. Six of those grandchildren are now married, and so far they have added 10 great-grandchildren to our quiver. How many is that altogether? I will let you figure it out. I know that is not the end of the additions unless the Lord returns before He gives us more. We are greatly blessed, and I praise the Lord for His mercies. I pray each one in our quiver will surrender his or her life to the Lord and be a great blessing to many others.